Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Rochester's home for live sports and the best sports talk anywhere. AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
All right, lots of data to come out of Indianapolis. The NFL scouting combine wrapping up, drills wrapping up last night. Here to distill it down for us, one of the best, Russell Brown. He is the national scout for Cover1.net, host of the Cover One NFL Draft Podcast. Good with his time and joining us for a few minutes here in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Hey, Russ, how are you, man?
I'm doing great. I appreciate the kind words. One of the best. I don't know if I'm that yet, but I'm working on it.
We're all striving for that. Russ, I asked this question out there, and you're a film guy. The Combine, it's fun to watch people eat up the times and everything. Like, if you had to put a percentage on it, and if you were an NFL GM, what's more important? Is it 80% the film? Is it 90% the film? How much weight do you actually put into what we saw over the weekend out in Indianapolis?
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably put it at a 80-85% more so film. I mean, obviously, you want to take a look at these guys, how they work in space, how they look with their movement skills as far as, you know, athletic ability from footwork and fluid hips and all that stuff. And it's great to watch it. It's great to see. But, you know, when a quarterback's throwing against, nobody, it's really hard to kind of evaluate him other than some of the live games that you're watching and the film that you're breaking out there. But, you know, for receivers and edge rushers, you know, three cone drills and those 20-yard shuttles and all that stuff, that's important. You want to see, again, what they can do in the short areas of the field and how quickly they can flip their hips. So I would say it's probably like an 80-20 split.
Russell Brown, the national scout for Cover1.net, joining us to wrap up the NFL scouting combine in Indianapolis the last few days. So, Russell, if I'm allowed, I've got a new man crush for the Buffalo Bills, and I think a lot of Bills fans' ears perked up when they saw the numbers put up by Notre Dame wide receiver Chase Claypool, who certainly looks like he did himself some favors by going through the motions there in Indianapolis. Were there any other names that really helped themselves, really made a case for themselves to be maybe a higher draft pick than originally projected, based on the work that they did in Indianapolis?
Yeah, I mean, certainly Chase Claypool is one of those guys for sure. I think he'd be a really fine fit as a big slot receiver, a guy that could probably even align as a tight end, not be primarily used as a tight end, but could definitely be used sporadically as a tight end. And one of those guys that would be a big slot, like I said, that with his size and that speed. I mean, he ran in the 4.3, so that's exceptional. Another guy, too, Denzel Mims. I thought really did a good job. He was a player that I never really viewed as a guy that stood out a ton on tape. I liked his film. I didn't love it. But he had a good Senior Bowl. He has a really good combine. And, I mean, he ran the three cone drill in 6.66 seconds. He ran under a 4.4. I mean, he looked very fluid out there. So I think he did a favor for his stock. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if he put himself in that kind of end of the first round discussion. And then lastly, Justin Jefferson out of LSU, it wouldn't surprise me at all if this guy became a top 20, top 25 pick, just simply because of production. He had 111 receptions, 18 touchdowns last year, 12 of those touchdowns were in the red zone. So he's got good size, speed, fluidity. I think he'd be a player that could be a fit for a lot of teams in the 20s.
Russell Brown is a national scout for Cover1.net, our guest here in the sports bar. Russell, we've heard that this draft class is, for wide receivers, the best since 2014. How many receivers do you think we could see go in the first round this year?
Yeah, I would have to say probably six, maybe seven. Mm. I think it's a pretty big number for sure. I mean, you have CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs as your top three, and then obviously, you could make a case for a guy like T. Higgins, who unfortunately didn't compete and didn't do anything at the combine. And then you've got Laviska Shenault, who is having hernia surgery, but he's a player that, you know, he ran pretty well. He tested well. You know, his overall long speed's not exactly what you want it to be. But again, he's an electric playmaker whenever he's on the field. And then, like I mentioned, you've got Justin Jefferson. We've got, you know, possibly Denzel Mims, maybe Chase Claypool. So I think we could very well see six or maybe even seven, and two other names as well. Jalen Reagor out of TCU didn't test exactly where you wanted him to test. I mean, he ran in the 4.5s, which is still a good number, but for what you saw on tape, he just plays a lot faster than what the times actually suggested. So even if he ends up in the second round for a receiver, he could be productive like Dalvin Cook has been for the Minnesota Vikings, who, you know, he fell into the second round because of some off-field stuff, but also because, you know, play speed was a lot better than his actual testing speed. So I think Reagor, the biggest thing is just drops. That's the only thing that I think might hold him out of the first round, but we'll see what exactly happens there.
Russ, we didn't get to see Joe Burrow throw. We didn't get to see Tua get medically cleared for the combine. We did get to see Jalen Hurts. We did get to see why am I blanking on Herbert? Justin Herbert. We got to see Herbert. We got to see Jordan Love. You know, how many quarterbacks do you think could go in the first round? And do you think that there is something to Washington poking their nose, or at least making Miami think that they have an interest in Tua at number two overall?
Yeah, Detroit and Washington are certainly making a lot of teams wonder what they're going to do with that quarterback spot. And is it Tua or is it another quarterback, whether it's Love or Herbert? And I mean, I certainly think we could see three quarterbacks in the top 10. It wouldn't surprise me if we saw four. The team I'm really curious is if, what does the Las Vegas Raiders do? I know there's been rumblings of them moving on from Derek Carr. They've not really disputed looking at bettering the position by any means. And I really wonder, are they a team that's maybe a dark horse for a Justin Herbert or a Jordan Love? And they could be a team with, you know, the 12th pick and the 19th pick, that they move up and put themselves in a position to draft one of those guys. So I certainly think, you know, Joe Burrow will go first. It would not surprise me if Tua went second or third, just simply because of a trade-up, more so probably from Miami. And then I think Justin Herbert to the Chargers makes a ton of sense. And then Jordan Love, obviously, again, that kind of dark horse. But it wouldn't surprise me if we even saw a player like maybe a Jacob Eason slip into the back end of the first round for a team that might be interested in a quarterback. I don't think Jake Fromm threw very well at the combine. I wasn't huge on him going into this. I know he's been rumored as possibly a first rounder, but realistically, I think, you know, Jacob Eason, he tested well. He's got good size, good measurables, so everything really works out where he might be a back-end first-rounder just because of the premium on the position.
Russell Brown from Cover One, our guest here in the Sports Bar. Will Chase Young make any team that passes over him regret it? I mean, I would assume you would say, Russ, he is the best player in this draft, but what do you think of him in terms of success? We've seen other defensive ends, namely Bosa's, both of them coming out over the past few years. Where does Young rank here in your mind as far as defensive players who can instantly transform a defense?
Yeah, he ranks near the top. I mean, we've seen guys like Bradley Chubb, Myles Garrett over the last couple of years, and those guys were really high up on my board as far as edge rushers go. But without question, you know, Chase Young takes the cake for me. I mean, he's my top overall player. I think if Cincinnati didn't really need a quarterback, it wouldn't surprise me if they pulled the trigger and took Chase Young with the first pick. But, you know, Joe Burrow is just too good to pass up, especially the premium for that quarterback spot. But, you know, with Chase Young, he's got such a premier pass rush plan, really good length, you know, 6'5", 265, and just that blend of speed, power, explosiveness, and that production. He's got, like I mentioned, a plethora of pass rush moves that I wrote about on cover1.net, and I showcased, you know, pretty much four or five games where he can show a variety of pass rush moves where he's either rushing outside to inside, inside to outside, so on and so forth. So I think he's a player that is a generational talent. It wouldn't surprise me over the next 10 years if we're seeing him in double-digit sack numbers every single season over the next 10 to 12 years.
Russ, we know you have a hard out. We want to give you a chance before we let you go to tell everybody what you're working on over at cover1.net.
Yeah, so smash the follow button at Russ NFL Draft on Twitter. That's where I post a lot of my written content, obviously, over at cover1.net. Video content, my thoughts, analysis, whatever it is. And then just coming up, I've got some stuff on Zach Bond, the edge rusher out of Wisconsin, Tyler Biotish, the interior offensive lineman from Wisconsin. And then I'll be doing my my draft showcase piece where I basically do the team needs for each team in the first round. And the first one will be the Cincinnati Bengals building around Joe Burrow.
Russ, appreciate your time today. Let's do this again before the draft. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys.
Russell Brown. Love getting Russ in here. He is the national scout for Cover1.net. You can hear him on the Cover One NFL Draft podcast. And there you go. Let's put a fine bow on the NFL scouting combine for 2020.
The more I think about what the Buffalo Bills will do, and there you just heard Russ Brown say you could have seven receivers go in the first round, which would lead me to believe, does Brandon Bean have the stomach there to sit there until round two? If they're looking for, like, say, the receiver from Notre Dame, somebody, the answer is no. I think here's what's going to happen. The Bills take the best player they think at 22 and might well be not be a wide receiver. It could be somebody on the defense that can help them now, fill one of those positions. But then to go get the receiver with the very next pick, and you want to make sure you get the guy with the next pick, I could see them trading up in the second round. I could even see them sneaking in to the end of the first round to make sure they get that receiver. So there's going to be receiver talent after 22, but for how long? After 22, I don't know if Brandon Bean will risk it all that much, because the Bills do have some extra picks here they can flip to a needy team that might need some mid-round picks.
I'd like them to kind of, I mean, if you need to absolutely move up and down with the extra picks that you've acquired, I guess go ahead. But at the same time, you know, you're preaching that you're going to address some needs in free agency, but you're not really... You've been preaching, if you're Brandon Bean, you've been preaching best player available all along, right? And have the stones and the preparation to know you have your board and you know exactly who you want every time you've got one of those picks. You don't necessarily need to move because you know that the guys you want, you get that edge rusher in the first round. Well, if everybody zigs and takes a receiver, you zag and get the best available edge rusher or corner that might still be there on the board.
Right, and then but in the second round... He's done this before, just last year, traded up to get Cody Ford. He fell in love with Cody Ford, which is fine. And for a rookie, I think he had an okay season. You're going to want to see more out of Cody Ford in year two, certainly, to the point where, hey, he's your right guard and your right tackle. It's done, set it, and forget it. I don't think we've reached that point yet with Cody Ford. We saw Sean McDermott do this and fail. Anybody forget that he did the same thing in year one? He hit... Home run. First round.
Trey
White. Second round. Ooh, we need to get our receiver. Let's trade up and get Zay Jones. Yeah, that didn't exactly work out now, did it?
No. Zay. I mean, such a shame, too. You got it in, you know, it's in his DNA. This guy's a football player, and that's probably what attracted him, attracted Sean McDermott to him, right? Can't go wrong. He's got football in his DNA.
I love football. Football. Football.
Yeah. Yeah, the weird offseason, the incident, and it turns out maybe he's not everything that you thought he was when you interviewed him, and we'll see. It remains to be seen what kind of an impact he makes now with the Raiders, but I imagine that there's a little bit more depth at the position in this year's draft than there was in the 2017 draft. That was good stuff from Russell. If you came in later, if you missed it, radio.com Rewind is now available to you through the radio.com app. You can listen to any portion of the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia within the next 24 hours. Go back, listen at your leisure, anytime, anywhere. We've got some takes on tap. Gino, we had poker night in the neighborhood on Friday night. I forgot to mention. So I was hanging out with Tony, Nick, Tony, Rich, Tony, Doug, Tony, Rob, Tony, Mike. Mike, Tony, Rich, Doug, Tony, and Nick, and Tony. And I was reminded by Tim, Tim, who gave us the idea for All Drink to That. So if Tim, if you're listening, again, let me give you a little public acknowledgement. It was a few years ago that Tim's like, you guys should just fire off takes and call it All Drink to That. And if you agree with it, you say, yeah, I'll drink to that. That take. Takes is what we do.
It wasn't a Tony that came up with
it
was Tim.
Tim, yeah. Tim came up with Tony was over at the, at the dip.
Well, imagine, here's one of my takes. Imagine in the NFL, you drafted a player and the player kind of came in and said, yeah, you know, I'm looking around. I don't want to be with the Bills. I'm going to be a free agent. That's not the way it works, right? It works that way in hockey. A little bit longer of a process. And over the weekend, and actually not over the weekend, you probably missed this last night, there's a stark reminder that the culture with the Buffalo Sabres is broken. And one player said, I'm not talking about O'Reilly here. It's somebody else. I don't want any part of this. It kind of shines a spotlight on a big, big problem on the ice for the Buffalo Sabres. And no, I'm not talking about secondary scoring. I have a Sabres take coming up. I also have a Yankee take coming up where I see the future. And it's not looking too good for one of the Yankee superstars here. Yeah, Aaron Judge. Why the Yankees might be making a big mistake here.
Be honest with me and let everybody know. How much time did you spend with that Tebow tripping on his shoelaces clip over the weekend?
I was showing it to everybody.
Did you have some time with that?
I did.
Good.
I think it was joyful you found it before I did.
I'm glad I could change the color of your mood ring, Gino. That's what I'm here for. Today, we celebrate a historic sports achievement that probably never happened. I'll explain. And, man, I've got to share a story about... I don't want to talk about the coronavirus. Can I just share a story? And don't worry, I'm not going to, you know, spread fear and panic. I'm a statistics guy. I'm not.
Oh, okay. Before you get to that take, we're going to get to this in shots today. There's a student group that's affiliated with the NCAA that is urging March Madness to be played in empty arenas.
Good God, man.
Kidding.
What?
All right. So I was just going to touch on that. I got something that happened over the weekend that I wanted to share. But we will get to that and more. We have some takes on tap on the way next. It's called I'll Drink to That. You're always welcome to jump in at 454-ESPN, 454-3776. More next in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis and opinion, we've got you covered. Plus on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com, the online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.